to try to fill the shoe of Bishop Andrew and Bishop Grace. Thank you. He's in charge. Hallelujah. And it's not like I've really had much time to prepare, but I thank God because He always gives us a word in season. He gives us the sharpened tongue that has a word in season. This afternoon, I would like to share something about God being a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. It is a message I wrote a while ago, I think sometime last year. And I prayed it through at the church where we were. I really prayed this message through. And I said, God, I don't know who I'm preparing it for. I know I'm preparing it for myself and I'm praying it through. But at the appointed time, you'll probably tell me who needs it. So I am really simply believing and trusting that this is what the Father wants to say today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. God who listens to us. Life has a lot of challenges. In fact, this morning our pastor, who is our own son, he was speaking on prayer. I found out recently that we sort of preach the same things, speak the same things. Because I hold a prayer meeting on Monday with the older ladies in this new church. And we have been doing this thing on prayer and repositioning. Repositioning ourselves in the spirit so that God can do a work in us. About 2 weeks ago, I remember entering into this place of prayer. And as I stood there on the altar wondering, Lord, so what are we going to pray about today? And suddenly this word came into my mind. Reposition yourself. Yeah. Amen. So we began to pray about that. And that I had prepared in 2013. And that evening God said, that is what I want you to share with the people. And that is what I want you to begin to pray. That was that day. And a couple of days ago when we got in touch with yourselves and we realized we were going to have to share something. Obviously I began to ask God, so what Lord? You know the people, I don't know them. It is very different sitting there, you know, than to being here. I don't mind sitting there because I understand everything that is being said here. But this is a massive challenge. Hallelujah. But I'm trusting the Holy Spirit because He is faithful. We had something going on yesterday in our ministry. Probably you remember this from Destiny House. My husband and myself, we do the deliverance ministry. We've done this for quite a few years now. We came with it from Kenya. We do a bit of counseling, deliverance, healing, so forth. We base it mainly on teachings. And yesterday we had a meeting like that organized by the ladies in the church. And they invited quite a number of people. They had invited almost 40 people. I would say quite a number of people came, more than 20 people came. Probably about 30 people came. It was a big meeting with a lot of people. And we called it Test and See. Come and test and see if this thing resonates with the doctrine that you know or not. Amen. The reason I'm bringing this story, I'm trying to make a point before I get to the scripture. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave a dream to one of the ladies, actually the one who started this whole thing. God gave her a dream and she saw an elaborate dream. Basically, she saw the whole project. How she could remember is amazing because she put it all in writing. So I told her, what you're going to do, go and photocopy those pages. Send them to me on email because we need to pray through this. And what God had shown her were hindrances, things that were going to stand in the way and make sure this meeting does not succeed. They were hindrances. So we began to pray. I took the dream and I took the scriptures and continued to compare what she had seen in the dream and what the word of God says. And we prayed. Yesterday morning we were in Hilton Hotel, my husband and myself. We were holed up there praying the night before because of that dream we had, you know, that had been shown to us. So we went to hide there to pray. So in the morning yesterday, just before I woke up, the Lord opened my eyes. And I saw the hindrance was persisting. It was insisting it's got to happen. You know, it's got to stop us from having this meeting. And I woke up, I didn't even wake him up. I just woke up, I knelt beside the bed and I began to pray. I began to take authority in the name of Jesus. I continued to remind God of his promises. Amen. I reminded God of what he has said. There's a scripture that we have read in the recent past. It's not what I want to read today, but I'll make mention of it in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, from verse 9. Probably my husband can read it if he's got it open. I don't know. We can read it quickly. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. I know what it says. If anybody finds it, read it quickly. How many people believe God speaks in dreams?
Amen.
Before Jesus was born, that a dream was shown to somebody, isn't it?
Yeah?
God speaks even through dreams. He can give you information. He can give you a warning. He can give you instruction through a dream. Amen. Could you kindly read it? Numbers chapter 10, verse 9.
Numbers chapter 10. From verse 9.
Yeah.
When you go to war.
When you go to war. Amen.
Yeah.
Prayer is war. Isn't it? Do we believe doing prayer is war?
Yes.
Because we are fighting against principalities and dominions, isn't it? Yes.
When you go to war in your land against the enemy.
Yes.
Who oppresses you.
Yes.
Then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpet.
Yes.
And you will be remembered before the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be, and you will be saved from your enemies.
Amen. When you go to war, so it is not if you go to war. It is when you go to war. It reminds me when Jesus said to the disciples, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray or if you fast. He said when you pray. Is anybody following me?
Yeah.
When you pray. So it is certain that that was going to happen. That at some point or other, we are going to go to war. When we wake up in the morning and begin to thank God and begin to ask him to give us protection and all of that stuff, we are declaring war to the powers of darkness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So that scripture says, when you prepare to go to war, because of your enemies who oppress you, sound the alarm on the trumpet. What alarm do we have, or what trumpet do we have as believers who are living now? Amen. I have not organized my message as a theological message or anything like that. I'm an evangelist, and evangelists are not very organized. My husband really teaches and analyzes and arranges things and tells you, now we are moving from this to the next. I don't do anything like that. I speak as the Spirit brings it into my spirit and into the mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That scripture I've just read is not here at all. But that's just like me. Hallelujah. When you prepare to go to war against your enemies that are oppressing you. People are being oppressed by all kinds of things. People are being oppressed by diseases, by sicknesses, by situations in life that refuse to move. Financial problems, social relationships that just want to work out. And you pray over these things, you pray over these things, and nothing happens. The Bible says there in that scripture that we have just read, it's amazing. I never planned to read that. When you prepare to go to war against your enemies who oppress you, and it could be any enemy, it could be sickness, it could be a bad relationship, it could be joblessness, it could be lack of finances, it could be a problem with a child in school, it could be a rebellious teenager, it could really be a myriad of things, it could be ministry, this ministry. When you prepare to go to war on behalf of this ministry, because of your enemies who are oppressing you, the Bible says, sound the alarm on the trumpet.
Amen.
And the Lord your God will remember you before him, or you will be remembered before God because of sounding the alarm. You will be remembered before God, and your enemies who are oppressing you will be defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That scripture really resonates with me. When I go to war, when I stand before God and speak to him about a problem with my children, something that is not working out, something that is not going the right way, something that refuses to shift, a disease that just won't respond to medication, it won't respond to medical treatment, I can prepare to go to war because of that enemy that is oppressing me. I can blow the sound of the trumpet. That is my prayer in the prayer closet.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, I will then be remembered before God, and my enemies shall be defeated.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's interesting. So that is what we did. I went on my knees in the morning. We had been praying through and through and through. But in the morning, when I saw this thing in a dream, I understood where it was going. I understood where it was going. And I woke up and I prayed, thank you.
Amen.
Belt is not playing ball. Put it behind where I can't touch it. Everything has a mouth. They all speak back at you. Amen. Yeah, so we woke up and prayed concerning that, believe you me. We had booked Hilton Hotel for that function. Can you believe at 9 o'clock when the function should start, the room was not ready. They had not hoovered the room. There was nothing in that room. You know, God speaks through dreams.
Yeah.
I remember waking up and sending a message to all the prayer warriors and saying, don't ignore this. Rise up and pray.
Amen.
That is what I wrote on the WhatsApp message. I said, rise up and pray. This is not a joke, what I have just seen. And surely enough, when the coordinator came, 9 o'clock, we should be starting at 9 o'clock, and there was nothing happening in the room. Other people had been there with the wedding the previous night, so you can imagine the state of the room. It had not been sorted. God does not lie. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Hallelujah. If you know how you walk with God, you know how God speaks to you, you will know when he's telling you, snitching on the enemy.
Yes.
Because that's what God did. He snitched on the enemy. He told me what the enemy had planned. So we got up to pray. Woke up with the others and said, let us pray. Let us call on the name of the Lord our God. Let us go into war. Let us sound the trumpet blast. Sorry, I'm a bit loud, me, you know. And I can be quiet and dramatic. In fact, I'm really holding back. I am a typical evangelist. Amen. And we got up and we prayed. And although we couldn't start, or at the time when we wanted to start, eventually we took off. And what a success the meeting was. Hallelujah. I am here to tell us this afternoon, we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. Hallelujah. We serve a God who hears and he answers prayer. When I was searching in my soul and searching in my heart and thinking, if I've got to share something in our friend's church, Father, you know the needs of the people there. I don't know them. Apart from greeting them and sharing some food in there, don't really know anything. I don't know what the need is in this season. But Abba Father, he knows. He knows exactly what your need is. The scripture reading for today comes from the book of 1 John 5:14. I don't really like following notes because they stop me from being myself. But I'll try my best to behave. I'm the sort of preacher who, when the Lord puts the scripture in my mind, read it, fire off. Holy Ghost will know which way to go. Hallelujah. I don't do this thing of organizing. I've tried and I fail. So I don't organize nothing. I just flow with the Spirit as he goes. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:14 in the NIV it says, are we there? I want all of us to go together. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen? This is the confidence that we have in God, in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, God hears us. Some people think that only so and so when they pray, God hears them. That scripture does not tell me only so and so can pray and only so and so can be listened to by God. It says we. That includes everybody sitting in this room and other believers elsewhere. Amen? This is the confidence I, Sarah, have in approaching God. That if I ask God anything according to His will, He hears us. Then the next question becomes, so how do I know that what I'm asking is in God's will? Hallelujah. And my favorite scripture comes from the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 16. You can just write the scriptures down and possibly read them later. But Philippians 2, 12 to 16 says, I will not read the whole lot. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? That is number one. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We cannot live a careless life. We cannot live a life that does not exemplify Christ and expect that we will pray according to the will of God. It is not going to happen. Hallelujah. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. That is how come we pray according to God's will. Because God wills, He desires, He puts the delight in us to serve Him. He puts that desire in us to do good. Therefore, when He works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure, when we get into the prayer closet, it is automatic we will pray God's will. Because God has already put the desire within you. What He wants you to pray, it's already there, backed by the Spirit. So when we ask things from God and He answers them, it is not that we are very good intercessors. I don't count myself as a good intercessor. I believe the Spirit of the Lord, if you are walking with Him, you are doing God's will, you are in union with God, whatever you ask, because the Spirit of the Lord works both to will and to do for His good pleasure, we will pray according to the will of God. Somewhere in Psalm, I'm not sure which Psalm it is, I don't know, it's 37. Yeah, I think it's 37. 37 verse 4. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord also. And He will give you the desires of your heart. A lot of people delight in their own thing. A lot of Christians can be quite carnal. A lot of people are just natural people. They just use instinct like an animal. Really, they're just good. But the Lord says, delight yourself in me. Find your pleasure in me. And then, I will grant you the desires of your heart. Yeah. What do you desire? What is this one thing you say, if only the Lord would give me this. If only the Lord would restore my health. If only the Lord would give me enough money to be able to look after my family and also to advance His kingdom. Those are examples. I don't know what your desire is. I don't know what is that one thing you're wishing for. Is it advancement in ministry? I don't know what it is. But the key is in the scriptures. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your... They are even secret. Some of them are in Bishop Grace's heart. Bishop Andrew knows nothing about it. But the Lord will grant you those desires. They are in the secret place inside of you. But because you delight yourself in Him, He grants you those desires. Hallelujah. Sometimes I desire my husband to do certain things and probably in the physical I'm thinking he's not getting it. But as I delight myself in the Lord knows how to speak to people and tell them to do what you are asking them to do without me opening my mouth. I don't know what he does about me, but that's what I do about him. Hallelujah. So then we see that if we, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to God's will, God will hear us. Because God himself has willed both, has purposed both to will and to do in us his good pleasure. Therefore, we are going to do God's will. We are going to ask God's will. And if we ask God's will, we are not going to ask amiss. Hallelujah. And we have just read that if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. Some of the reasons some of our prayers are not answered is because we are not delighting ourselves in the Lord. We are half-hearted. Sometimes delighting ourselves in the Lord, sometimes delighting ourselves in other things. It is amazing how you can go, for example, in the places of work like I work. And sometimes Christians blend in like a chameleon. They just blend in with the environment. You can't know who is who. God does not listen to the prayers of people who are double-minded. We don't have to go in the places of work and shout and say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ, I was baptized in 1920 or whatever. They shall know us by our fruit. Hallelujah. People keep asking me all the time, how is it you smile for 14 and a half hours on a shift? A patient once asked me, why are you so happy in the morning? I said, I can't think of one reason to be miserable. Can't think of one. She thought I was really strange person, really weird. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. It is the reason why I smile. Not that I don't have troubles. Not that I don't face challenges. I face all of those. I'm human. I've got blood. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because joy is the fruit of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Another translation, the CEB, something English version, Bible, says, enjoy the Lord and he will give you what your heart asks. Amen. Hallelujah. We mothers enjoy our little babies. Turn them around. Kiss them. Tell them all, ah, Baba, you are so nice. It's a boy. You are really, you are so handsome. Just like your daddy. You know, you say things to your baby. You enjoy your baby. God is wanting us to enjoy him likewise. Enjoy the Lord. He will grant you the desires of your heart. Be excited about God. Be excited about your salvation. Be excited about your walk in the Holy Ghost. Be excited about the work of God. Be excited about the kingdom. A lot of people don't know what to do with this kingdom. Hallelujah. Lots of people don't know what to do with the kingdom of God. I am excited about the kingdom. I'm excited. It is a privilege to be a child of God, to be a princess. In fact, Bishop Grace, I introduced myself at work as Princess Sarah. And some laugh, some take offense, and I think I have no apology to make. If my father is the king, what does that make me? What wrong have I done? And I take it a step further and say, so you've got to do this courtesy thing, you know, because I'm royalty. And they look at me and of course they try to see why I can't be royalty. I am royalty. You are royalty. All of us are royalty because our father is the king. We don't need to apologize. We don't need to be sorry about it. I don't apologize. I just go Princess Sarah. And then I wait for the reaction. Some love it. They say, oh, I'm queen, so and so. Others say, I'm lord, so and so. But that breaks the ice, helps me to go through the day. Hallelujah. But the anointing of that royalty works on my behalf. Praise God. Because I'm enjoying who I am. I'm enjoying the Lord who has saved me. I'm enjoying the work he's doing in my life. Hallelujah. Another translation, Good News, says, seek your happiness in the Lord. People seek happiness in the bottle. People seek happiness in drugs, alcohol, women. People seek for happiness in all kinds of places. Wrong relationships, men and women and women. It's all wrong. Those things cannot give you what you're looking for. You still feel empty. I see them when they come to hospital to get their bits sewn up. They are miserable. You can see something is lacking because they are seeking for happiness in the wrong things. Hallelujah. The Bible says, seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Amen. And how do we do it? How do we come to the place of praying? How can we, unless you are filled with the Spirit of God, prayer can be hard work.
Yeah.
Anybody experience that?
Yeah.
Because you've got to think of the next statement you are going to make. I love it when I go in the prayer closet and disappear in the Spirit. Because you can be there for hours and never know that hours have gone by. Because the Spirit begins to groan inside you, to travail inside you in groans that cannot be uttered in one. And He strengthens us.
Amen.
Scripture is in Romans 8:26-27. Romans 8:26-27 says in the New King James Version, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or in our infirmities. Amen. God is so just. He's not expecting us to pray on our own. There's a scripture which I can't remember where it is, which says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Amen. He's not expecting us to do these things in our strength. God has given us His Holy Spirit, that He may be our helper, that He may help us to pray. Amen. It is not for us to pray on our own. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did we not start off by saying we can pray according to the will of God? And when we pray according to the will of God, we know God will answer that prayer. And even so, when His own Spirit is praying, He knows the mind of God and He can search our hearts and see the burdens. Hallelujah. Is it making sense?
Yes.
The Spirit can search our hearts. So He makes intercession for us. So He knows the kind of weaknesses that we have. Jesus told His disciples, when you pray, do not blabber like the Pharisees. They go on with vain invocations and vain chantings and vain words. They repeat themselves over and over and over and over, wearing these long gowns with phylacteries and flowing robes, and in the marketplaces, when they fast, they are so sad. He said, don't do any of that. It doesn't give you a thing. Hallelujah. When we pray, we go in the secret place. We cry there. According to the book of Matthew, Jesus said, what you are asking Him in secret, He will answer you on the rooftops.
Amen.
And then people see you are getting blessed and they start to feel jealous. They become envious. Why are you blessed? They don't know. You have paid the price in the secret place.
Amen.
You have allowed the Holy Spirit to groan inside of you, to search your heart, and to pray to God according to the will of God. And when the Spirit is praying on your behalf, definitely God will answer that prayer. Amen. When I say the Spirit, I'm not necessarily saying tongues.
Yeah.
Amen. It is very good to speak in tongues because you speak mysteries. Hallelujah. But all of us have been exhorted by Paul in the book of Ephesians. I think it's somewhere 6:18, when he says, pray all kinds of prayers and supplications in the Spirit.
Amen.
Pray always in the Spirit. Amen. Don't pray in the flesh. Don't pray what we call soulish prayers. Soulish prayers are prayers which you're praying and hoping something will happen to the person you don't like. That is a prayer from the soul. That is not the will of God. Jesus said, bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless them. If your enemy is hungry, give them food. If they are thirsty, give them water. So He doesn't tell us to pray soulish prayers and hope our neighbor's church will fall, will, you know, disappear from the earth. That is not God's will. Hallelujah. And it is God who gives, it is God who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. It is God who through His Spirit will give you what to pray. We said already He wills in us and the purposes in us to do the good things we do.
Yes.
Next time you do good, something good, don't go around praising yourself. It is God who wills and purposes.
Amen.
In us to do the good things we do. There is no good in us. The Bible says that no one is good.
Yes.
None of us are righteous. But God causes good things to happen through us. Amen. He says in the book of Jeremiah 33 verse 2-3. Jeremiah 33, 2-3 in the New King James Version says, "Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you." It is an assurance. Call to me and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I think the King James says great and unsearchable things. Things that you don't know anything about. Things about the disease that is troubling you that you don't know anything about. Things that even doctors don't know about. They are puzzled about what is troubling you. The Lord says, when you pray, when you call to me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. Amen. This meeting we had yesterday, we have spent time praying for it. It was the first time we were calling people from other cities. A lot of people have a lot of skepticism about deliverance. So we had to pray and say, Lord, if you anointed us to do this, you've got to prove yourself. You've got to show that this is from you. And you've got to help us to do it your way, not our way. Because people have preconceptions from what they have seen. Randy ministers doing, you know, dodgy ministers doing in the name of deliverance, doing dodgy things. And people have opinions about deliverance. We had to spend time praying and asking the Lord and saying, God, have your way. We stand on the side and have your way. We prepared three topics. We ended up doing just one topic in depth. But it did the job. It achieved the results we needed to achieve. The results we hoped we would get, we received them. Because we spent time praying, seeking God's face, asking God to come in and have his way. And also to prove that this is his work, not something we've concocted in our home. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. When you call to him, he will answer you. Amen. It does not matter which mountain is standing before you. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to mountains. They may not be physical mountains. Because I'm sure we would have seen some physical mountains in the sea. I haven't seen one yet. You know, being uprooted. He meant spiritual mountains. Things that, situations and circumstances that refuse to shift. There are a lot of people from nations outside of the United Kingdom that are trying to settle here. And immigration is a mountain that they cannot move. They just keep going this way and going that way and being told one thing and getting this lawyer and getting another lawyer, never really getting a result. Jesus said, all you need is faith, the size of a mustard seed. If you are praying according to the will of God, the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf as you kneel down, God will give you results. Amen. Because he's not a man to lie. Numbers 23 somewhere, he says, God is not a man to lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. Will he speak and not act? Will he promise and not fulfill? He is not a God who renegades on his promises. God will fulfill what he said. God will do. Amen. He gave us that assurance in Mark 11, 22-26. I only read bits of it. Mark 11, 20, from 22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Did I say it? Is it me who said it? I didn't say it. God said it. Jesus said it. You better believe Jesus. Better believe Jesus for the things that are not moving. Better believe Jesus for the things that are a mountain. Better believe Jesus for the mulberry trees. I listened to my husband when he was doing Bible study. I understood from him a mulberry tree, the roots go really deep and very far off. So it is one hell of a tree to try to uproot. But Jesus says you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. And hello, your tree is up. You can show it to the sea. Get going. Amen. Hallelujah. You can tell the mulberry tree, get going. Because your faith is the size of a mustard tree. But also he said, there are conditions to answered prayer. Like I told you, I'm not really organized my sermon in any way. These are things that God was just putting in my heart and I was writing them as I had them. Amen? It is not really in any order. You can do the order when you get home. Hallelujah. In verse 25 he says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against someone. A lot of people come to church, they don't talk to one another. A lot of people come to church, they are very envious and jealous of one another. A lot of people don't see eye to eye. They have family members they don't talk to. They have friends they don't see eye to eye. But when we meet in the church, we are all lifting up our hands and praying. Hello? I have news for you. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. I think other translations say, if any has aught against you. I'm sure that's King James translation. Sometimes these translations don't bring out the meaning. If you remember somebody has something against you, or if you remember that you have something against somebody, what did Jesus say? Forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you. I think the King James says, put your sacrifice on the altar. I'm sure this one of the Gospels says, put your sacrifice on the altar. Don't give it. Leave it on the altar. Go make amends with your brother or sister and then come and offer your sacrifice. It will be accepted. But a lot of people rush to give God a sacrifice. Jesus said, sacrifice I'm not interested in. Practice mercy instead. Amen. Jesus is not interested in sacrifice. David said in Psalm 51, burnt offerings, you are not interested in. I'm using my own words, paraphrasing. If you are interested in burnt offerings for my sin, I would have brought you burnt offerings. You want a contrite spirit and a broken heart. Yeah. Hallelujah. Heart issues is what the Lord is looking at. Amen. Amen. People, a lot of Christians think it is okay not to speak to somebody. There is somebody who you don't meet, you don't see eye to eye, and you think it is okay. No, we'll be surprised. We will be surprised. Jesus is not like that. Let us not take him for granted. If we don't make amends with the people that we have issues with, our prayers are a waste of time. You might as well not pray. Amen. I feel as if God is stopping me there, right there on that point. I would like us to rise up and just, Daniel is very far. I would have liked some music to just play in the background quietly. I want each one of us, that's, I'm doing what I sense in my spirit. I want us to talk to God about people we have grudges with, people we have issues with, people that we can't see eye to eye with, people who we see and our hearts become sad. I sense it in my spirit. They may be family members. They may be your neighbor. Some people call them neighbors from hell or something similar. That person you think is like they came from hell. We have an opportunity right here to talk to God about that person and let go. Amen. I'm that kind of a preacher. If I hear something like that, I don't continue. It needs sorting. Amen. Hallelujah. As the music goes on quietly, I want us to just bow down and talk to God about the people that we need to let go of. People that have done injustice to us. People that have wronged us. We have this opportunity to let go of them. In the name of Jesus.